Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Work Trends with Megan M. Biro. Whether you're here to network, learn, or share, we want you to have fun. During this live broadcast and Twitter chat, we'll discuss the future of work with smart and entertaining guests who value today's business and its impact on the world of work for the future. Stay tuned, because we start in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to another informative Talent Culture Work Trends podcast and Twitter chat. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Shout out to my sponsors and friends who make all of this possible to do this every single week. We are excited today about the topic we're talking about because it's HR technology. And everybody out there knows who's been following my blog post that the face of HR is changing. We're going to be discussing this topic often here at Work Trends, right? But today we have two guests with us who are going to be discussing this topic using data culled from a 2017 Pulse survey. And to give you some backdrop, today's special guest stars are the team over at Paychex. They've got a Pulse of HR survey that was conducted online between May 10th, 2017 and May 17th, 2017, to be exact, right? Because we're not about talking in generalities anymore, right? We're talking about specifics. We're going to drill down today and talk about the fact that they polled 309 HR decision makers here in the U.S. at companies with between 50 and 500 employees. This marked the first installation of their three-year annual commitment to studying the latest trends in HR and technology. Kudos to you. I think we all need to be measuring more and listening more and saying what is really happening in this space, because things are really happening very quickly. So if you're out there and you're on the Twitters or you're on Instagram, utilize Work Trends as our hashtag today and tweet along with us. So, without further ado, our guests today are Corey Mao, the director, and I'm going to say Mao, but I really meant to say Maw.
That's
everybody,
okay.
And we're going to quiz you after this, and we're going to weigh in. His last name is actually interesting, and no, he's not from Hawaii or China. His last name is spelled M-A-U. He's a fascinating guy. We've been hanging out here in the green room. He is the director of the corporate strategy and planning team at Paychex. They are a leading provider of integrated human capital management services. They do payroll. They also, by the way, if you're like me, I'm like, I think of payroll when I think of Paychex. They also do a lot more. They're working on HR, retirement, insurance services for over 605,000 businesses. In this role, he leads a specialized team responsible for strategy, pricing, market research, business, analytics. He hails from Rochester, New York. He's a native. He's been at Paychex for 13 years, by the way, so we want to talk to him about that in and of itself, including some stops in the finance orgs, right, along with corporate development, M&A, marketing, and product management. Welcome, Corey.
Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be here.
Welcome, Corey. What's your last name?
It's Ma, although some say Mao,
Ma.
But technically it's Ma.
There you go.
I respond to both, though.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Also with us is Leah Machado, but I'm calling her Leah today, right?
Is it Leah or Leah?
I'd love to be called Princess Leah Machado.
Yes, that is my
She's
name.
She's the director of HR services at Paychex as well. She leads the organization in what she does. They provide HR outsourcing services to over 37,000 services clients with more than 1 million worksite employees. Her career spans HR, leadership, and nearly 25 years in retail? Really? Restaurants, HCM, outsourcing industries, you name it, welcome you two. We're thrilled to have you with us today, and I'm excited to kind of dig into the findings from your survey. And maybe by the end of this show, we're going to have a little quiz on the pronunciations of your names. Are we having fun yet?
I hope we can pass that quiz.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, being a fan of Talent Culture and Work Trends, it's really a pleasure to be a guest today.
Well, Leia, I'm happy to have you here. Tell us just, like, what's your elevator pitch? Who are you, Leia?
Oh, well, you know, as the director of service for our Paychex HR services, I lead an organization of nearly 600 HR professionals. And about 500 of them are actually in the field, which means they actually meet with clients on site. You know, we're located in over 100 cities. In fact, I'm calling in from Richmond, Virginia today. And we provide all kinds of, yes, we provide all kinds of HR outsourcing support for our clients, navigating federal and state regulations, supporting hiring and onboarding, helping with training and developing, providing best practices and handling those sticky employee relations issues. You name it, we do it.
And I
just celebrated my sweet 16 with Paychex. I never thought I would say that again, but certainly,
wow.
You know, this role provides me the opportunity to really be focused on what I'm passionate about, which is HR service and leadership.
You go, lady. And yourself, Mr. Corey, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I've been Paychex, you said, for 13 years, and I've had the opportunity, which is one great thing about Paychex, to play in a number of different roles and departments here at Paychex. So I started off in finance, moved over to the corporate development team, moved over to marketing, been in product. So I've gotten to be in a lot of different areas to see the business in a very unique way. I guess my elevator pitch is one that uses a lot with data insights to help with business decisions. So good topic today with, you know, HR technology and analytics. So been doing it for 13 years. It's been a great ride. I have married, been Racha all my life. I have two boys, 9 and 13. And as every parent knows, that your life pretty much revolves around them. So they keep us busy, but love every minute of it. So really, really looking forward
Welcome.
To being here and talking with you today about this great topic.
Well, I'm excited to dig more into that because I think, you know, we're all talking a lot about surveys and data, right? And I know you told me the sample here included 300 plus of today's HR pros in business with up to 500 employees. And I think you started at that sort of 50 mark, which is sort of interesting to me. So I want to dig more into that. Leia, based on the survey results, what were some of the challenges that you found that HR pros are facing today?
Well, our survey identified the top challenges that HR professionals face today are 1, keeping up with regulations, 2, retaining talent, 3, complying with regulations, 4, training and development, and 5, attracting talent. So notice there are 2 key themes here, regulations and talent.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. The current regulatory environment and certainly the uncertainty around things like healthcare and overtime continue to be top of mind for HR leaders. And it's hard for them to keep up to ensure compliance regardless of the size of their business. And as it, you know, relates to talent, I mean, employees are the company's most valuable asset. So the age-old challenges that come with attracting, developing, and retaining talent continue to be a top priority. And while some studies show that this becomes much more challenging as the business grows, our study actually indicates that the data didn't really differ greatly by business size. And I also want to note that the order of the talent challenges that appeared in our top 10. So retaining was 2, training and developing 4, and attracting 5. And I found this particularly interesting, Megan, because a couple months ago on Work Trends, you and Shane Green talked a lot about how the war for acquiring or attracting talent has subsided, and that focus, you know, has really shifted towards retaining talent. There's a war on retaining talent, and our survey certainly supports that.
Interesting. Do you want to tell us just, and I mean, Corey, you can jump in here too, just a little bit more about the actual makeup of some of these people that were responding or anything just bigger picture for the audience? You know, anything,
yep.
You know, yeah. I mean, let's dig into that because I think in order for us to take this to the next level, right, tell us just big picture how you went about this.
Yeah, so we've been obviously interested in learning more about the challenges that HR leaders face today. And we thought the survey would be a great way for us, and then also to share it too with others, to say, you know, what's going on in HR today? What's changing? What are the big trends? What are the big challenges that a lot of companies like Paychex are trying to help businesses solve for? So we looked at the sample size, obviously, to get, you know, a wide swath of businesses throughout, you know, the U.S. geographically, and also trying to limit the sample size to where between 50 and 500, and usually somewhere starting at 50 is where we see HR become have a role in a company. And many times with businesses under 50 employees, they don't have a dedicated HR function necessarily. So we were trying to focus on dedicated HR departments and to get their insights and, you know, look at the market space too. Just at some point, you got to draw a line in the sand. So we said, you know, typically we look a lot in the space of the 50 to 500 as our quote-unquote our mid-market space at Paychex as we define it. So there's a little background there. And then obviously we talked about doing a longitudinal study here, which is, you know, this is the first one. And we're really excited to be able to look at as we do this the next 2 years to see what's changing, what's and how fast things are changing. Because I know we know a lot of things are changing, but the one thing in research you sometimes want to get is how fast things are moving. Is it accelerating? Is it decelerating?
Yeah.
Is it stable? And that also tells a lot about, you know, where things are going and where the areas of focus are with HR leaders today.
How often do you plan on doing this?
Well, we have one. We'll do one next year at the same time and then one the following year. So we're committed to doing the next 2 years. And if it goes well, we may have to change it up just to maybe refresh some of the questions. But I can see this going on for quite some time as we get really good data, which I think we already have here today.
And you will be entering another year of employment at Paychex.
Yay! Yes. Yeah. And maybe you'll ask us back a year from now to talk about the next generation of HR Pulse surveys.
So, Leah, the research uncovered a lot of really interesting info, obviously. When I dug into it a little bit, one bit in particular is that more than half, and I'm going to say 53% of respondents, feel that fewer than 50% of their employees are engaged, right? Does that surprise you, or does that seem like a real representation on the workforce today?
Yes, you know, that jumped out at me, too. I mean, the good news is that 27% of the respondents do feel that a majority of their employees, so over 75%, are engaged. But obviously, you know, that leaves a lot of opportunity here to grow. And, you know, as Corey said, this is the first of our annual study. So watching this employee engagement data is going to be particularly interesting for us in the coming years.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, also, what are some of the quick tips on how HR might actually better engage with employees? Because I think, you know, it's one thing to have the data, right? It's another thing to actually be able to solve problems with that.
Exactly.
Thoughts on that?
Yes. You know, I believe that employee engagement does not sit solely on the shoulders of HR professionals. However, HR can lead the way, you know, by aligning the company's culture and the leadership team to improve and, more importantly, sustain engagement of their employees. So in terms of, you know, quick tips, I mean, simply just starting with seeking the why. You know, be very curious to understand how employees feel, all employees, the engaged ones, the disengaged ones, the passive ones, and there's so many ways to seek the why. You can do one-on-ones and skip levels, focus groups, 360s, pulse surveys, you know, exit interviews. And then, you know, once a company truly understands their employees' current experience and their level of engagement, then they should execute a real meaningful and, you know, relevant action plan that's going to holistically get after the employee engagement opportunities in their business. Because the truth is, you and I know there's no one silver bullet to that answer.
Oh, and if we had that, Leah, the things we could do. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So let's talk about one of my favorite subjects, HR tech, right? Corey, let's dive into your role a little bit more, right? What was discovered when you looked at that juicy data in regards to how HR pros use tech and where they're finding it to making a significant difference in their day? And I say significance with a bold, right? And I might even tweet it out soon, right? Because what's the rub here? Let's cut down to the basic facts of what you found.
Yeah, so it's interesting. First, it's very exciting in times with HR technology. It's certainly impacting all aspects of HR, and I think it's really going through a lot of transformation. Part of the research indicated that almost half of the HR departments have changed out one of their systems in the past 3 years. So a lot of going on here, a lot of new applications, new opportunities coming up around anywhere from payroll all the way to, you know, succession management, performance management, pulse surveys, just a lot happening today. What's really interesting, though, is one of the big themes of the research has been that HR leaders today feel that they've moved beyond serving that traditional administrative function, such as payroll or benefits or time tracking. And they've really moved to more of a strategic role. And I think HR technology has been key in that evolution, right, enabling that. And in the survey, we asked HR professionals, and 75% of them agreed that technology and HR technology has helped them get that, what we'll call, quote, unquote, seat at the table. Right. And I think what's really helping with that, in addition, is, you know, the automation of certain processes and getting tools in place for time tracking and payroll and onboarding, as well as analytics, have really helped drive that and make that shift a reality.
Well, and what's your thought on that? I mean, any surprises when we start talking about, I mean, number one, we shouldn't be surprised that HR pros are using technology.
Right,
but then again,
right.
Let's be honest. Maybe we should be, you know, I mean, there's an adoption issue still is what I'm trying to get to here, right?
Yep. Yeah, they're not all, I mean, I think some of the more mature functions are certainly, like payroll and benefits admin and time and attendance are certainly more mature technology, but we're seeing a lot more new and emerging ones, onboarding and recruiting, up and tracking, learning management systems, employee engagement systems, all sorts of new things that are coming out that I think are still just scratching the surface. So what we're seeing is some of the more mature, what we call the traditional administrative functions are certainly at a point where a majority adoption rates, but a lot of this talent management, as we'll call it, you know, the people-centric applications are still have a long way to go. And as we see in our space, dealing in the market that we play in, the small and medium-sized businesses, we can watch what's happening in the enterprise market, knowing that a lot of that stuff is going to be coming down in our space in the next few years. So we watch that very closely. But even just look at self-service, for example, in the survey, we saw a large adoption with businesses. Over 50% are using some sort of self-service functionality to basically handle some of those basic tasks, such as allowing their employees to change their address online, to even change their 401k contributions. And I think that's helped offload a lot of the work, that non-value-added tactical work that has allowed them and enabled them really to focus on more of the higher value strategic work and to leverage some of these analytics, which has allowed them to get that seat at the table. So, and I think as we look at the younger generation, right, they expect self-service, they want to be able to do things themselves online. So I almost think now it's really becoming table stakes. And also I think with mobility and analytics are two huge things too that are really driving, you know, being able to work anywhere, anytime, that you can run your payroll while you're sitting at the doctor's office, or, you know, change a 401k contribution while you're on the weekend evaluating your finances. These are really helped HR people, you know, really work anywhere, anytime. You don't have to be at your desk to get work done anymore.
Yeah. Well, nobody wants to, right? I mean, we're all mobile. We need it on our devices.
Yep.
Do you really think, though, Corey, I'm just going to kind of cut through it for you because I'm a what you see is what you get kind of gal. Do you really think HR has a seat at the table? I want to hear your thoughts. Because
we debated this a little bit.
I'm just saying, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll say this is clearly they believe they had a seat at the table, and one of the questions we wondered is do others view it that way? But I think they do now. I think with the analytics and the ability to begin to take a different role, such as, you know, using tools and technologies to optimize the workforce or minimize overtime or make sure you're not getting penalties or fines because you don't have someone classified correctly. And so I think there's a lot there that's put a lot of tools in their hands to really elevate the role, in my opinion. And I think we're seeing that in the data. But what will really be interesting is this just a benchmark for today. It'll be really interesting over the next 2 years to see if that changes. Does it stay at, you know, the 81%, or does it begin to lift up? Is technology and the adoption, is that correlated to more of a strategic role? But the one part I will say a little bit concerning is we ask questions about the system integration. And what we've really found is it's lacking, that only 23% of the firms in the 50 to 500 space are using, we'll call, a single integrated suite. And when you don't use a single system, and in many cases, a lot of the processes are manual, they're spending up to 30%, are spending 15 to 29 hours a month keying manual data into separate systems, which, you know, in today's world is just crazy. And I think that's where technology can really help, is to get rid of those those manual tasks that, data entry errors and data integrity errors. So I think moving to more of a consolidated single suite, or single application is going to be very beneficial to HR.
Moving away from spreadsheets, anybody?
Yes.
I want to hear your thoughts on the Twitters.
As much as I love Excel, being the ex-finance guy, it certainly has its not its place in this area.
No, it's laborious and, frankly, just we don't have time,
Right.
So listen, I'm looking over the report, and this jumped out at me as really interesting. The top three most offered non-traditional benefits, Leia, tell our audience what they are and why you believe these three versus other obvious bennies.
Overwhelmingly, flexible scheduling was the most frequently offered at 43%.
Yeah.
Why is that? I believe there are several potential reasons for that. We're living in an era of dual career families. Baby boomers are needing to care for their aging parents. And then just quite honestly, dealing with life, balancing both the personal and the professional. Next up was childcare. So 24% offer either financial assistance or on-site childcare services. And the third most offered non-traditional benefit was free meals on a regular basis at 23%.
Ooh.
Right? I don't know if
nothing
coffee and chocolate
that.
Constitute a free meal, but that's a way to my heart for sure, Megan. I think
that's a huge, huge perk. And I can say that as somebody who worked with Google in the early days, Google's cafeteria in Cambridge, you got to go see it. We've got sushi bars, we've got pizza bars, we've got salad bars, and they just keep reinventing. We've got a Korean stir fry area. I mean, Google's cafeteria we should do a field trip, actually. We need to do a work trends field
trip. Oh, that sounds great.
With video to Google's cafeteria, so you just gave me an idea. Because it is so important, right? It's the little things or the seemingly little things people care about, right?
Right.
Food, their kids, their parents. I mean, we are humans, right? So it's not really a surprise to me that these are some, but I mean, the interesting thing is we're calling them non-trad benefits. When will that change, too, where it's like that? These aren't benefits. These are must-haves, right?
Right. Right. A flexible scheduling is certainly on its way. And that's really important because I think companies need to really pay close attention to this shift. Flexible scheduling has really become a powerful tool to attract, engage, and retain talent. So that's going to move from a non-traditional to, an expected.
When you say, I just want to hear your take on this, Leia, how do you define a flexible schedule, and how, if you were to get into the minds and hearts of your audience here that were, took the time to do this survey, how do you think they're viewing this?
Well,
tell us
in
more
the
about it.
Sure. No, I think that there's certainly varying definitions of flexible schedule. We tried to be very specific, as we were exploring some of these non-traditional benefits. So, really flexible scheduling here is defined as just allowing flexibility in kind of start and stop times and days of the week. We did also explore other flexible, work schedules that some define as like telecommuting, working from home versus coming into the office. And so that's what we mean by, the flexible scheduling at 43%. It's really about the schedule in terms of hours and days and being able to, adapt that to meet both the business demands but also the employee's personal needs too.
Cool. Anything else you want to share?
Well, I think overall, what really just stood out to me is that benefits that just, really encourage and support employee success at home and at work, and in the community. It just really speaks to the generational shift and the varying needs of this dynamic workforce that we're in.
Absolutely. So, we're going to touch upon analytics now because it appeared to be a hot topic for your respondents, which, I'm delighted about because I'm kind of a geek, frankly. But, Corey, please give us some info on how HR pros are addressing analytics and using it to their benefit on behalf of their organizations.
Yeah, well, first of all, like you, I'm a big fan of data analytics, you know, given the finance background, so this is something near and dear to me. But first, I think we talk a lot about the definition of the word analytics, and I think what we see is it being used very loosely today. I think some people are using the word analytics when it's just really taking static data and applying a pretty chart to it. So I think one of the things we talk about is truly what is sort of descriptive data or reporting versus really analytics, which is getting into the trends and the digging into complex and algorithms and statistics. So, you know, really what we see most people using, say, from the data suggests is that while they are using some of these more advanced forms of analytics, most companies today, in fact, all companies are really using some form of descriptive analytics. And I think the opportunity going forward is to really move that forward to begin to bring more sophistication to that. And as these systems consolidate and more data becomes available, I think that really enables that. So we asked that during the survey, 86% of the respondents said that HR, and it's probably not too surprising, that 86% said HR analytics has helped them to be more informed and objective, which is great. But what's really surprising is almost half said they're not sure they're leveraging the correct data. And that's a little scary. So there's a lot of work on the HR end to really look at, you know, cleaning up, validating, and consolidating the data, which really would allow them, you know, moving forward to leverage their analytical capabilities as all these tools begin to emerge, all these new innovative companies, you know, using data to really help businesses make better decisions. And we look at what they're doing with it. A majority of them, the most popular, was really to use analytics to target HR communications more effectively. So tailoring the message based on certain demographics information. We also know that another 61% are using it to identify high potential employees. And one where I think it will certainly begin to become more and more mainstream is 36% are using it to predict flight risk to help reduce employee turnover. So there's a lot of great things on
flight
the horizon.
Risk.
We'll be interested to see how that changes
like
over time
laughing?
In each of those categories.
Does anyone... Flight risk? Come on. That's so funny that we're still using that term. But it's true, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to know about flight risk. It just makes me laugh, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's the war on talent.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Now we're expecting HR to have a seat at the table and be data scientists. Is that what you're telling us?
That's where it's going. Whether or not, but I think more and more, I think you're seeing is in HR functions that they're, you know, it's not traditional HR person any longer. I think you're pulling in people from finance or other elements of the business into HR, which is really broadening that skill set. So absolutely, that's where it's going. And I think the systems, hopefully with machine learning, artificial intelligence, will help make it easier to consume the data and understand it versus having to be a data science, quote unquote, right? Let the technology be the data science.
So we're down to like three more minutes, and then we're going to take this party over to the Twitters and discuss this more. But I'm curious, Corey, was there anything discovered from the survey results that genuinely surprised you?
Yeah, the one question we asked that really came back I was really surprised about was we found that 100% of HR leaders listened to the Work Trends podcast by Megan Biro. So I was really surprised by that. So the big thing we thought was when we first started the survey, you know, we really thought that the data would reveal that HR leaders feel that they're struggling to gain respect, to get a seat at the table, and generally viewed as a cost center and probably overwhelmed with tactical or the day-to-day minutia. And I think when we got the data back, we're actually very pleasantly surprised to see that they don't view themselves that way. That's not what they're going through. There's generally a pretty good work-life balance. 80% believe that their organization is viewed as a strategic business partner. So it appears that HR is moving in the right direction. And the only on the surprising side, the concerning side, is the part with the data, that there's not a lot of confidence that the data, they may initially understand that there may be data integrity issues. So that's concerning because when you're using data to make business decisions, obviously bad data can lead to bad business decisions. So that's something I think that was somewhat concerning. We'll have to dig into that more.
Well, and the other thing is I know stress is at an all-time high for HR pros, and go figure. You know, after we're having this discussion, I'm not surprised because now the expectations are moving up and up and up. So listen, thank you both for being here. This has been a really informative Work Trends today. And, you know, I'd love to welcome you back on the show again soon so we can continue to unfold this. You both
rock. That would be great.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the time today.
Appreciate the opportunity to share our Paychex Pulse of HR survey with you and your audience today.
Okay. Thank you both. Talk soon.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.